I'm Andrew Schneider on KNIA KRLS, joined now by a longtime administrator, coach, athlete from Knoxville, now at Pella. It's Randy Wilson joining us here on our program. First of all, Randy, good to talk to you. Obviously wish we were at a track somewhere. We're talking on the Saturday of Drake Relay, so we would probably be seeing you up at the Blue Oval. But obviously things have changed with COVID-19. The spring season's been canceled for everybody from high school to college. When you first heard some of the news start coming in about the season being delayed and canceled, what was your initial response, still actively as a coach and still interacting with a lot of our high school and college athletes?
Well, I think like anybody, I was hoping they were wrong, or hoping, hey, let's get through this a couple weeks, 3 weeks, and then we'll move on. But obviously, like you say, that's not the case. You know, it's here for a while, and we are all, hopefully all of us are learning to cope with it and adjust with it and make the best of what we can.
Well, and you're still active in the schools. You've been a physical education teacher. You've kind of worn a bunch of different hats, you know, interacting with different age levels of kids. You know, what has that been like for you, knowing that, you know, these high schoolers all the way on down are really having to adjust their life? And what are the ways that you've tried to adjust to that to try and be a support for all of our kids in our district?
Well, first of all, as an elementary PE teacher, my hat's off to Katie Gravert, who is the PE teacher at Madison. I give her 99% of the credit for getting ideas electronically out to the kids for both Lincoln and Madison to do, have some things to do at home. I give my 2 cents worth. I throw some ideas toward her, but she's the one that sets it up, puts it on the website, and hopefully the kids are taking advantage of some of those great ideas that we've come up with. But again, Katie Gravert, hats off to you, and thank you very much. And the kids in Pella, I want them to know that when they see Miss G, and if that is allowed when they see her next, give her a big hug, a fist bump, something, because she's gone above and beyond the call of duty.
Well, and with that age of kid, Randy, there's obviously that balance of, you know, a lot of them are probably pretty adaptable, but a lot of them may not understand the full context of the situation, especially at that elementary age. You know, I imagine for all of the elementary teachers, this has been a tough transition.
Oh, and, you know, and it's not just Katie. There are so many of the other teachers, you know, at all levels of the Pella School District. And then, you know, the other school districts, for that matter, that they're in uncharted territory, and they are learning as they go, and they're figuring out what works. You know, hopefully we can all put this in our back pocket just in case something happens on down the line. You know, here are some ideas. This is what worked. This is what didn't work. And again, but it starts at the top. Greg Ebling, the superintendent, he has been a terrific leader throughout this whole process.
Well, and your other hat that you wear at Pella High School these days is assistant track coach at the varsity level for both the boys and girls, especially when it comes to some of the middle distance and hurdles and other things that you just try to assist with whenever you're at practice. There's a lot of disappointed kids at the high school as well. You know, how have you and your coaching staff been trying to help a lot of the everyone from freshmen to seniors that are missing out on a season at a school where track is such a big deal?
Well, Coach Grass and Van Howen, they've been instrumental in leading the charge of getting ideas to the kids. You know, when there was still a possibility of a season, things were sent out electronically to get the kids working. We couldn't get on the track, but there were things that they could do at their home. And I was a part of that, sending out ideas. And this may sound crazy, but I drew on some of the ideas that I trained with, you know, 40 some years ago, that it worked for me when I couldn't get on a track, when I was just training and living in Knoxville, things that I did, you know, on repeat city block runs, you know, go find a hill and sprint up that hill, you know, 10, 15 different times. So there were things that they were doing from my standpoint that I did a heck of a long time ago when I didn't have access to a track every day.
Well, and one of the big reasons why you've been kind of featured in the media and we're talking to you is that as these kids deal with a ton of heartbreak, especially those that their careers ended at high school in the class of 2020, 40 years ago, you lost maybe the ultimate prize of any athlete, the opportunity to compete at the Olympics. I know it's a story you've told several times before, but for those who aren't familiar, discuss that run up to 1980 for you, because you have quite the interesting journey from Knoxville to being an Olympic qualifier.
Well, I appreciate that. The I was just a typical kid. I grew up out in the country in Knoxville and went out for every sport that they had, and was very active. I had three older brothers that were very, very active in athletics, and I wanted to be like them, as a lot of kids would say. But as I got a little bit older, I figured out that maybe running was the thing I could do well and excel in. And my junior year in high school at Knoxville, 1972, we added cross country. Never knew what it was, but decided to go out for that and had wonderful success. I was a state champion in cross country. And in track, where I had just as much success, I was state champion in the mile. And crazy, I was state champion in the high hurdles. So a lot of the Iowa coaches, which I thought I wanted to go to college and run D1 track, the D1 programs, and there are four of them in this state, all said, no thanks, you're just not fast enough. So word somehow got to J.D. Martin at the University of Oklahoma, and he gave me a partial scholarship. So I jumped on that and had 4 years of a tremendous, successful program. And I was a national champion and a five-time All-American. And I became not only national caliber, but I became world-class caliber while I was there. And that was from, running 145 at nationals, running 145 at the Drake Relays. And I kind of slowed down then after I graduated. I got a teaching job back in Iowa in Ankeny, and I taught and coached there. I was an assistant ninth grade football coach and an assistant ninth grade track coach, and just had a blast. But there was always something in the back of my mind that, hey, maybe I should keep running, give it another shot. So I was training and teaching and doing things. We had our son, Brad, who happens to live in Pella now, and ran some races in the spring, kind of sporadically, whenever I could get in a race and, whatever I could drive to, and qualified for the trials. And the trials were in Eugene, Oregon in 1980. And about this time of year, there was some indication that President Carter would have us boycott and not go to the Olympics. And the track club that I ran for and other people that I knew all said, hey, keep training, keep racing. They could change their mind. Maybe they'll switch their idea, and maybe the Soviet Union and the United States can work out a deal, and we could still go to the Olympics, which were in Moscow. So we had the Olympic trials in Eugene, and I made the team by finishing third in the final. And we got our uniform, we got our warm-ups, we got all the doodads that come along with that. We had a meet in East Germany, in Stuttgart, a dual meet against the East Germans. And after the meet, the Soviet Union consulate, they had some people come by our hotel and offer us an opportunity to go to Moscow and compete in the Olympics. So everybody was pumped up. They were excited. But about 12 hours later, the U.S. consulate sent some representatives and said, we can't stop you from going to Moscow, but if you do, you'll be arrested when you come back to the United States, and you'll be tried for treason. And nobody really wanted to go through that, so nobody took them up on their offer. And so that was kind of the final nail in the coffin, so to speak. So we knew our Olympic chances, and that was just 2 weeks before the Olympics started. So we knew we were toast.
Well,
there you go. That's kind of how, in a nutshell, from living east of Knoxville and growing up to 1980.
Well, and that it's timing is everything sometimes in this world. That was now four decades ago. And obviously since then you've enjoyed a life in education, both in Knoxville, and now in Pella. And now we have athletes from both schools and every school here in Iowa that, while it may not be the Olympic sized heartbreak for some that are dealing with the end of their careers, how have you tried to be a resource now to many of the students who either are reaching out to you or that the coaches are trying to get you to that are dealing with this idea that, you know, they lost a season after so many years of just being able to compete and being able to be a part of sports?
You know, I guess one of the messages I want to say is, please don't take your opportunities for granted. You know, you have an opportunity, make the most of it. You know, the window of opportunity for our kids in high school sports is so, it's a blink of an eye and it's over anyway. And to have one of those seasons taken away is very disappointing, you know, heartbreaking. And no matter what level you're at, you know, your mind is in the present day. If I was in high school and this happened to me or in college, I would have felt exactly the same way when my Olympic opportunity got taken away, you know, heartbroken, disappointed, even mad. And, you know, this was of no fault of our kids or our coaches. You know, this, I'm not faulting anyone. This is just something that unfortunately happened to us here and across the globe. And hopefully we can get some of our scientists and doctors working and they can come up with a vaccine and we can move on.
Well, and how did you, I mean, obviously at that point in 1980, you were pretty well established as an adult, as a parent, maybe not dealing with some of the angst and the emotions that our teenagers might feel. You know, how did you kind of move forward from that? Because obviously we hear that story leading up to 1980, you're in Moscow and you lose that dream. You know, obviously I'm sure it took some time to kind of cope, but I'm guessing for our kids, even if they have baseball and softball, even if they have football and cross country in the fall, probably it'll take a while for them to kind of to repair some of the emotion.
You know, I think you're right to a certain extent, but our kids are resilient. You know, our kids are our kids. And if they have their head on straight and they have a good support system at home, and of course through our coaching staff, hey, we're going to hit the ground running whenever we get the opportunity, and we're going to move on from this. And that, not just in athletics, but in our everyday life. And, you know, hopefully there's not a very big detrimental attitude with kids. We're going to all be keeping track on the news, you know, to make sure, you know, when we're in the clear, we move on. But I think we're going to be pretty gun shy, so to speak, you know, when somebody reports that some of this, you know, is flaring back up somewhere. But I know our kids, they're going to roll their sleeves up and get to work and maybe even work harder than ever before. So when they do get that opportunity, when the gun goes off, we're ready to go to compete at the highest level that we can.
Well said. That's Randy Wilson. He's a coach and teacher now at Pella, longtime administrator at Knoxville, joining us here on our program. Randy, I appreciate you providing some insight. I have a similar feeling with those kids. I'm not doubting them, that's for sure. Have had the opportunity to talk to a lot of them. I do appreciate your time and your story. Thank you for sharing, and all the best to you, and we hope to see you at a track sometime very, very soon.
Well, I hope to do that too. I would like to say something to our listeners.
Yes.
Be safe out there. Take care of yourselves and your families. And don't take any chances.